Welcome to Tech Intersect. I'm your host, Tanya Evans, and my life and work exist at the heart of law, business, and technology. Yeah, I've earned a few fancy titles and degrees over the years, but the bottom line is I'm a writer, speaker, teacher, and lifelong learner, and I'm really excited that you've joined me on this journey. So what is Tech Intersect? Well, it's authentic, empowering conversations with really interesting guests who demystify complex topics to prepare you for the future, because your future is now, and it exists where law, business, and tech intersect. Get ready to listen, learn, and leverage. Let's get started. In this episode of Tech Intersect, I speak with Gafachi, a renowned Ghanaian music artist who is constantly evolving personally and artistically. He is a visionary, he's versatile, and his productions naturally include an adventurous Afro twist with strong influences of electronic music, which you notice immediately whenever you encounter his art. It's basically in Gafachi's DNA, though, since his interest in music was nurtured by his father, a former band member of Juju music legend Chief Commander, Ebenezer Obe. Gafachi's excitement in producing grew over a decade ago during senior high school, where his childhood friend introduced him to the digital audio workstation from Fruity Loops, and this led to his experimentation with multiple genres and resulted in the unique sound that Gafachi is sharing with Ghanaians and music lovers beyond the motherland today. And this has earned him great recognition as well as esteemed reputation among several excellent artists and resulted in them quickly inviting Gafachi over for production sessions in and outside of Africa. And he has toured the world and played at renowned festivals in Germany and Norway, Uganda, and certainly Ghana. And I invited him on the show because he is now experimenting with non-fungible tokens as an NFT crypto artist. He shares his journey into and through the world of cryptocurrencies to crypto art. He talks about his creation process and selection of platforms, as well as some of the pitfalls of being a new entrant into the crypto art space. In episode 59, I covered some of the NFT basics, and I have some links in the show notes to additional information. I've been doing a ton of interviews talking about NFTs or nifties, we sometimes refer to them as, and talking about the intellectual property and contract implications. And in future episodes, I'll definitely delve in more deeply into the legal issues that both artists and investors should be aware of in this fast-paced and FOMO-filled, really, space of using non-fungible tokens to control ownership of digital and real-world assets. But before we jump into the episode, please take a moment to like, share, and comment so that others who would benefit from this content can find it. Make sure that you're also subscribed as well, so the minute new episodes hit the feed, they also hit your app. And also, I invite you to attend an upcoming free masterclass to learn about cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and the future of money in this new digital cash economy. So, if you are tired of wasting time trying to break into the crypto markets alone, curious but confused about what crypto is and how it works, afraid you'll miss out on another chance to ride the Bitcoin wave, scared to invest in crypto because you think it's illegal or unsafe, or you might be a creative with questions about copyright and crypto art NFTs, or perhaps you want to be on the leading edge to prepare for blockchain's disruptive impact in your industry. Whatever the case may be, this free masterclass is for you. We'll spend 90 minutes together. I want you to seize this opportunity to learn while you earn. And I'll give you the unbiased facts in plain language and give you a solid foundation in the future of money. Register for an upcoming masterclass. I do them every month. If you are listening to this in March, the next date is Thursday, March 18th, 6:30 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Register at fromcashtocrypto.com. That's fromcashtocrypto.com. If you're listening after that date, just check that website and it will lead you to the next available opportunity to participate in one of these masterclasses and, of course, to learn more about the full suite of courses that we offer at Advantage Evans Academy. Okay, now it's time to listen, learn, and leverage. Let's get started. In this episode of Tech Intersect, I welcome electronic music artist, producer, DJ, audio nomad, and now an NFT mentor, Gafachi, to this show. I am so excited to have this conversation, certainly to amplify this brother's excellence, but also to help him lead by example. For those of you who are creatives and new to the space, particularly Black and Brown artists who are entering the space and trying to figure it out. And so we will certainly be talking about his creativity, the recent NFT that he released, Ni. I want to hear all about that. He describes it, and I tweeted recently about the first Ghanaian space exploration. So we definitely have to hear about that. And we'll talk about all of that and more in a moment. But first, Gafachi, welcome.
Thanks for having me, or thanks for having us. Yeah, I go by the name of Gafachi from Accra, Ghana. I'm a producer and a DJ, and it's been a very interesting journey for me ever since I found music. And I've always been a very, very hyperactive kid growing up. I always want to be first on everything. So when music came calling, I had to embrace it fully. And I came from a music background. My dad is a former band member of a Nigerian juju singer called Ebenezer Obe. So growing up, I never thought I would do music. And when I got out of Polytechnic, it's something like a college in Ghana. When I got out of it, I found music because I didn't know what to do. So I was just looking everywhere to find something to do, and I found music. And I've been a producer, I've been a producer ever since, from year 2009 up till now. And I've been a DJ for the last 3 years. I've had the opportunity to travel around the world. I've done 16 countries now, and I'm looking forward to more. And now I'm doing crypto stuff. I'm early into it. Because I learned about crypto currency and the blockchain and everything just recently. And I'm going to say more about this on the show. And I'm very excited to be here.
Good. I'm so glad to have you here. And we have a second person who has come to the party as well. So I want to formally introduce you, sir, as well. Yusef, welcome to Tech Intersect. Please introduce yourself, sir, and what brought you to this esteemed party and your connection to Gafachi.
Thank you so much for the introduction, Professor Evans. And it's an honor to be here, first of all. Thank you so much for this platform. It's all about empowering the youth. And how I connect with Gafachi was about art, you know, music. And I feel like music is one language. If music can travel, definitely we can empower the youth with education when it comes to cryptocurrency or NFT. And I'm brand new to the school of, you know, NFT. And cryptocurrency as well. And in terms of my background, I manage Gafachi, and also in terms of the project business development, just to make sure that the story is going to be told the right way in different platforms, because we want to actually utilize the local content, and we want to keep it really original and also involve, you know, people from Ghana in the community to be part of the story. So basically, in terms of background, I studied diplomacy at school, and now I'm involved in art. So I like the combination, because through my knowledge with diplomacy, it shows me how to have more knowledge and empower the youth in terms of policy. And definitely with technology, that's one of the biggest missions we have for the next 5 years, because Gen Z is a generation that, you know, they make their own rules. So definitely we try to I just do that rule. So that's about me, and all about here to learn every day in the tech space.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. I love the different and unique perspectives, certainly on the business side of music. Before I started teaching, I practiced law for 10 years. I've been in legal education for 14. And the primary focus of my practice was entertainment, generally speaking. More specifically, I started in music, but I landed in the literary world. And so I was reviewing and negotiating contracts, licensing properties. But in the early 2000s, mid-2000s, to the late 2000s, setting up independent labels and their contracts, and really making sense of
the impact of peer-to-peer technology and how to leverage the internet and navigate that. I feel like we have such an important opportunity now with this type of technology, and that's why Kabachi is so, I'm just so encouraged and excited about your faith. One, obviously in your own creativity, but also your courage to step outside of creativity to really connect with technology and just figure it out. We're going to get to that in a minute. But before I do, I'm going to ask you, how are you doing just separate and apart from creativity? How are you doing in the midst of the pandemic / pandemonium / panorama, whatever the young folks are calling it? How are you doing in the space over this past year as an artist?
I'm going to reference a popular Wizkid song called Oju Elegba. I can't explain. You know, it's always summer in Ghana. So we are just taking everything in. And I think the pandemic gave us a chance to lay back and reflect on what was really important in life. So I just gotta be grateful for whatever that's going on, because I have no power over nature, you know. So that's all I can say about that, about life, you know.
That's lovely. Yes, that's that one moment at a time, and being grateful in the midst of whatever, wherever we find ourselves. I think because you're a creative, you get to see that, but creatives stay centered. I mean, that's when it's at the sweet spot of your ability. Talk about your point of view as a musician and the arc of your career as a musician before we get to the visual art part.
My POV, I'm an activist, and I'm also pro-Black. I'm a Pan-Africanist. Naturally, it came like that aspect of the way I view things came naturally to me. And these are the three core things that really direct me in every decision I have to make.
That's powerful. And did that translate from your music to visual arts as well?
Yeah, it translates in my music a lot. And even the way the relationships I keep in music, that translates a lot in that.
Are you tired of feeling lost in the world of trading and investing? Get informed and inspired with the Talking Trading podcast. I'm Louise Bedford, and I'll help you navigate the markets like a pro. Tune in each week and subscribe now at talkingtrading.com.au or on your favourite podcast app, or check out the link in the show notes. Talking Trading, this is how traders excel.
And so when you think about the aural nature of music and then translating that to how you intend to leverage technology, talk to me about what led you to explore and to release your first non-fungible token. For those who don't know what NFT stands for, sometimes it's also referred to as Nifty. I'm doing a series of shows over the next few weeks talking about the legal and intellectual property implications of non-fungible tokens, helping people understand that the difference between the ownership that the NFT represents and where the actual creativity resides, which is not in the token. There's some file reference and people don't really understand that. I do want to get a little granular to talk about your specific process of creation with OpenSea, but the transition from being a producer, singing and all of those things to something that also has a visual component too, and then using specifically this type of technology, what was the decision process you went through in order to do that?
So when I was in high school, I did visual arts, and I've always wanted to collect art of people that I like, especially my friends around me who do art. So rest in peace to Apreku Da Costa. He passed last year. And I would get his artworks, and I would just go to the beach with him to try and sell the artworks. So it started from there. And I've always been blessed to have like creative people around me. So when I had to make this decision, it was so easy because I realized unconsciously I was collecting art through my music. Because when you go and check all the cover arts to my music, I always let a graphic artist do them for me. And I work with specific graphic artists. And I really pay attention to the artistic parts. Even if I have to break down my cover arts for you, you're going to be like, wow. So you really put thoughts into this. Sometimes I would even see an artwork that's already designed, and I can connect it through my music. So when I heard about NFTs, I heard about NFT because a friend put me onto Bitcoins in December. And I have always wanted to know what this blockchain thing is. I tried to learn on my own, but I think the interest was in there. So because of the pandemic, I had the chance to really study it and see how best I can leverage it to transcend my art into a different space. So I got lucky and joined Clubhouse very early in I think, December. And I would go to rooms and we would talk about music. So I was just going to music rooms and just talking about entertainment and stuff. And I started seeing this on my feed, NFT, Bitcoin. And I'm like, hey, Gav, you are into Bitcoin now, so you might as well go and listen to people who are into this space. So I would go into the rooms. So I started with Bitcoins. Then I would go there. I would learn about what the market cap is. I would learn about how finite Bitcoins are, what Satoshi is, and all that. So I was learning all the jargons that would guide me into NFT. So when I went into NFT, I had an understanding about blockchain activities, and I had an understanding about cryptocurrency. And because it's always come natural to me to collect art of my friends, I was like, this is something that's going to enable all the ideas that I have, for the fact that I don't have to go through systems to put an art piece out the way I would want to do it. So
yes,
fast forward to OpenSea. I learned about OpenSea on Clubhouse. People were suggesting it because I was trying to find a very affordable way to mint stuff that I want to put on the NFT platform. And Mintable came in the conversations that people were having, and OpenSea. But the reason why I like OpenSea was I really like the layout of their platform and how interactive it is. So when I joined OpenSea, I got myself a MetaMask wallet. I loaded up Ethereum because luckily I had a Kraken account that my friend funded for me when I started doing Bitcoin stuff. And I set up an OpenSea account. And fortunately for me, I think I've been making the right moves in the music industry unconsciously. So I've worked with a friend of mine who is a renowned satirical artist called Bright Akwe. You should check him out, Bright Akwe.
Yes.
And we worked on a project for my EP called Asapa 1.0. So the EP was what started this whole thing about Ni. So I had this concept about Ni being an astronaut. Ni is not an astronaut, but I can't give all the story yet. Ni is not an astronaut, but it kind of envisions how space exploration would be for a Ghanaian. So it's like a Ghanaian dreaming about space stuff. So the first space exploration was to, the first space exploration Ni went on was for the Asapa 1.0 EP, which I released back in 2018. And we did the EP, and the EP was so successful. And today we even got good news that one of the songs that was used in the movie actually got 8 BAFTA nominations today.
Outstanding. Yes. Congratulations.
So it's like the music is going places. The artist who I worked with is a renowned artist. And now we've minted the piece and put it on OpenSea as an NFT. And it's one of many pieces that are going to follow up about the story of Ni. And we are collaborating with graphic artists in Ghana to amplify the story so that we can let people know that the crypto world is accessible to us, but we just got to go through some loopholes. So it's just the way Ni has to go through daily hurdles to dream the way it wants to dream. It's the same way we should also see crypto. And yeah, I got in when I think the hype was crazy. And I'm really happy that I got to do this.
We hope you're enjoying this edition of Tech Intersect. Our conversation will continue in a moment, but first, a word on an exciting opportunity.
There's a more cost-effective and time-efficient way to reach your leading-edge learning and earning goals, to put you ahead of the stiff competition in this fast-paced, tech-driven economy. You need skills, credentials, and a fast track to a competitive advantage. You need it now more than ever, and I can help. The Advantage Evans Method puts you ahead of the curve with condensed, comprehensive online courses, curated content to leverage your current skills and expertise, live coaching, networking opportunities, and more. Upcoming courses include From Cash to Crypto to help you buy your first Bitcoin, and there are two ways to get your advantage. Advantage Evans Encore gives you maximum experience for your total competitive advantage and access for 1 year. It includes a live welcome and modules on terminology, buying and selling, exchanges, mining, earning crypto, trading and investing, and also several of the legal issues you need to know in order to be safe and secure as you enter this space. That includes tax compliance, how to plan for a Bitcoin estate, and securities laws to make sure you avoid any legal unforced errors. Now, Advantage Core gives you the essentials. It's a short course to give you what you want and the support you need to buy your first crypto in as little as 3 weeks, with access to the information and replays for 3 months. And if you're not quite ready for your Advantage and want a sneak peek to try before you buy, then register for a free masterclass where I share my Crypto 101 success checklist and cover current hot topics in crypto. So there truly is something for everyone, including you, to get in on the fast track and learn and earn in the digital economy. Visit AdvantageEvans.com to get started. That's AdvantageEvans.com.
And now, back to the conversation.
That's outstanding. Yusuf, when you heard this idea, what did the manager in you, did you fear it? Did you embrace it? Did you think it was in his best interest? Did you support? How did you view this new technology and the combination with artistry at this point in time?
I didn't think twice because it was really humble to see his passion towards art, to promote art with technology, and also his story, his background. And Gafachi has been in the scene for like over a decade. And like, it was important to celebrate Gafachi with this project. So as soon as I heard the idea, and we're going back and forth with cryptocurrency, how it can work in the continent, and like NFT came as a trending topic. And it's like, he teach me actually about NFT, and it was amazing. I was even happy to learn more. So once he told me about the project, I'm like, that make a lot of sense to really, you know, integrate the youth to be part of the journey. Because at the end of the day, also, that's a mission for me. You know, we advocate to empower the youth. And also, it's going back, you know, with data, which is a big problem in some part of Ghana. If I'm saying that data is a problem in Ghana, I'm lying, because right now we're using data. But, you know, the decentralized market don't have access to data. They don't know about NFT. So the story also with the art piece is a way to give back to the community, to see like everyone can be part of the conversation. Everyone can learn about NFT. And to learn about NFT, we don't necessarily need data at the moment, but we can give those kind of, you know, workshop and classes to teach to the kids of the community how to be involved in NFT. And then it comes with different stages. And after the first stage, we can actually see how data can be provided in this municipality. So I felt like it was really good. I love the energy. I love the mindset behind it, because the story itself touched a lot. And I feel like also with the journey, what will be done with what we want to accomplish is something to say that, you know, at the end of the day, it's a family that came together to make it happen. Because sometimes people have a voice, but you can't hear the voice. And we want to try as much as we can to, you know, to touch a lot of people and make their voice heard. Because some people might find out that, you know, they may have a talent. And in Ghana or in Africa, coming from an African background, is like, if I'm going to school, you have to be an engineer or you have to be a doctor. It's less the case now, but I feel like with technology, art can be promoted in a different level. And, you know, if it's to, it's coming back to the point, as I repeat again, to empower the youth and to figure out, like, you know, what's their gift. If it's art, definitely they can do a lot of, you know, activities with NFT. So we try as much we can to evolve people in the journey and, you know, build that story and come with series of art, because there's a lot of talented artists in a decentralized market and also the rural area. And we care a lot about the rural area because they know what, you know, that needs to be fixed for their future. And that's why I was really happy to join, you know, the journey of me. And as you see, the picture we need is a beautiful Kokoro who's taking a selfie on his face. And we want a lot of people to join also that journey to take more selfie in the space.
Absolutely. It's stunning. It's a stunning piece. I'll continue to amplify that as well on all of my channels, to be sure. And you both have mentioned the importance of really supporting and encouraging other Black artists in the space, both in Ghana, and because of the nature of the technology, it's borderless. So the idea of being able to connect with people around the world and to empower people around the world is really important. For those young, not so young, I'm Gen X, so shout out to the Gen Xers as well. Gen Z, love you too. Bless your hearts, millennials. But for the artist who is new to the space, either musicians or visual artists in the physical realm, what advice, Kafachi, would you give them? And then those initial steps that you had to take from, you mentioned earlier, getting your MetaMask wallet, identifying a specific platform. What were those steps after you did to going from idea to actually setting up your auction? I don't even know if the minting that you do is after the auction or before. So tell us a bit about the process that you went through.
The process, like, I'm a fast learner. So when I get onto things, you think maybe I'm an expert, but I'm not. But the experience was just gas fees. You know, sometimes you want to mint your first piece and the gas fees are so high. And I didn't understand why the gas fees were so high. So I wouldn't mint it. And I would try and go in again. And I realized the gas fees were so high. And I'm like, no, I'm just minting a 3-second video. Why am I supposed to pay a lot of money? Then I went on Clubhouse and fortunately, people were talking about gas fees. And they were like, gas fees is just like Uber. When you try to get Uber on the weekends, there's a surge in prices, so you have to wait maybe in the weekday and pick an Uber and stuff. And I'm like, oh, this is how it works. So the day I was minting the first piece, I applied the information I got on Clubhouse and it worked and everything went through, and I'd prepared for it. And Yusuf and I spoke about it. I'm like, guy, we don't have to wait to do the big project. Let's go test the waters first, see how it is, learn our mistakes, and we will come back better the next time. So that's the experience so far.
That's really helpful. And I will, in the show notes for my listeners, drop some links, certainly to the process of minting your first non-fungible token, and also what Kafachi has just mentioned about gas fees. He's talking about the fact that there's a certain price that you pay in Ethereum, it's a type of cryptocurrency, in order to create this digital token. And the digital token is the ownership representation, it's connected to the creative file. But it is really important to understand that. I love the analogy of Uber, because when there's a surge, you're going to pay more.
Exactly.
It's the same 10 blocks, but you can pay a little or you can pay a lot to get to the head of the line. And so being able to navigate that, I'll definitely drop some links in the show notes so that you have more information about gas fees and what that means and why that's on the artist who is actually bringing this token into existence that costs a little bit. And that's why, you know, that's an investment that an artist makes after they have already invested their soul in the creativity. The business side of it, of setting this up so that you can even get into the game to auction off. And whether that's being auctioned off for $100 USD equivalent or $1 million, yes, Lord, let's claim that for everyone. The process is going to be the same in terms of getting up on the platform. So I want to empower people with that information as well. Because I think you said it earlier, there are some impediments, some just logistical and user interface and user experience barriers to participation. But I do think that this space is the one way that people are like, I don't know what this is, but I want that. So I'm going to figure it out. Exactly. It may even be, and this is going to be very controversial, but I'm just going to say it. This might be the killer app. I adore crypto, love Bitcoin. I'm the chair of the MakerDAO's Maker Foundation. And so MKR token, DAI, I get all of that. But there are still a lot of impediments for the average person to get in. So I want to demystify the space. And I think that people like you with such a huge platform, moving fearlessly in the space and like, let's just go forward, figure it out and come back with the lessons learned. Think of the way that you even probably bought your first Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And then had to buy it and then move it to a wallet. There is no more terrifying moment in a new entrance world when you have to move whatever BTC you just bought or whatever token or coin to a wallet. So I love that you said, this is what happens on the cryptocurrency side too. Buy it, send a little bit to the wallet, make sure it gets there. And if it doesn't, you don't have to, you know, ball up in a corner crying because you've taken the lessons, you've learned it, and then you get to make the big power move. So I love that you said that. Looking at the time, final point, and then I let you go on to your life because I appreciate so much the time that you're spending with me. Talk about the charitable component of the sale of NE, because I think that's so important for people to hear too, that you are lifting as you climb and you are reseeding into the community. And so I think that's an important part of your story too.
Yeah. So this idea is something that came about when I started touring the world to play as a DJ. And I realized people that came from the global north had access to funds and grants. And even as Africans, we do have it, but the ones that that Ghanaians are eligible to are very minimal. So it's like you have to go to the deep end to get a grant and a fund or a fund to back your project or, you know, pay for mobility stuff. So that's how the idea came about. So what we are doing is dedicating half of all the proceeds that we are going to make from NE to setting up the fund. So every time we make a sale, we put it into the fund and grow the fund so that for the first year, if we can start with 6,000, which is 1,000 euros, the next year we would start doing 2,000, 3,000, depends on how people see the value in holding a NE collectible. So I think Yusuf can also add his perspective to this whole idea too.
Please.
Yes, definitely. As Gafachi said, the proceed is to, you know, develop a platform, like a grant platform where the youth can apply, or anyone that's related to art or talent can apply to for a grant to be supporting that project. As Gafachi said, he traveled around the world and he realized that it's an infrastructure that's been, you know, provided to people in the Western and in Europe and North America as well. And me also living in Toronto, when I used to work with a few creative, there's a lot of grant. And when I'm seeing the amount, you know, when it comes to the grant, I'm like, if Africa could have even, you know, 5% of it, definitely we're going to be creating a lot of Picasso. So when I also, you know, saw the vision of Gafachi, you know, about creating a grant platform, definitely is a good start also, because we're definitely going to be giving opportunity to a lot of people who in the creative space who are dreaming big to have hope. And once we have this kind of platform, starting small also, which is the most important thing, but, you know, in the long run, we want to be able to support as much we can, you know, artists that need funds. You know, it doesn't need to be a musician. You can be a spoken word artist, you know, you can be a painter, you can be a musician, or you can be a producer, like if you want to apply, exactly, a skater, you know, all kind of activity relate to art. Want to really, you know, create that blueprint and make sure that it can be done also in Africa. And from there, you know, the government can also work with us and see how, you know, they can also, you know, adjust some funds with us when it comes to that mission. and also empower different parts of the continent, because the moment Africa have a platform or grant, we're going to have, a lot of talent. It's like an example that I can give, because also, we found out what's going on in the music industry is like having a production company and you acting like a sub-label and you want to do a partnership with a record label, definitely they're going to provide you a lot of funds. And it's like a grant. But like in Africa, because in terms of infrastructure, imagine we have this kind of platform example, like different production company that partner with record label, definitely is going to be an ecosystem that we're building for the continent. And also a lot of people will be paying taxes. And we should also imagine in the long run, if it connects also with NFT, artists selling art, is
right.
The ecosystem will definitely going to benefit. So definitely, we're trying to empower, but also, assist the youth to build the ecosystem and be part of that journey and understand in the long run, also create multiple workshops to make sure that when it comes to the education, people have the fundamental about NFT and cryptocurrency, because it's a passion, but also it's important that people understand what's the business side, the legal aspect also, not fully educated. And from there, the conversation on NFT can be easier. And, professors like you can come down, hopefully in the motherland also, to assist the youth and educate them, with their crypto world itself. So that's our mission with the grant.
Anything you need, I live in my Twitter feed, and it would be my pleasure to continue to amplify the excellence of what you're doing and to make sure that we are lifting as we climb. It's a beautiful thing. So I'm really encouraged about what you're doing. And I'm really grateful that you all spent time with me on Tech Intersect. I know that my listeners will love this. And we're going to have you back every time, unless you're minting every single day. We're going to have you back.
All right. Thank you.
To talk about the process. And so before we get out of here, Kafachi, please tell listeners how they can learn more about you and your work. I will drop your links, but I want them to hear it from you as well.
The way to get to me directly is through my Discord. So you can look up Kafachi server on Discord. Also, if it's too difficult for you and you don't want to be techie, you want to hit me up on Twitter. My DMs are always open. My Instagram has been disabled by Instagram, so I'm trying to get it restored. So I hope it comes back up. And also, you can check me out on SoundCloud. My music is everywhere. At Kafachi, everything. And to get our NFTs, it's Clam NFT on OpenSea. We are verified now. So you'll not be dealing with some shady person out there. So yeah.
Good. Thank you for that. Well, I want you to go and have a fantastic evening. I'm about to open up the song that I was listening to before you hopped on. It would have been creepy if I was playing it, but I'm about to rock out to Joanna. We're about to do this.
All right.
It's going to be big up. Thank you so much, Yusa.
Thank you.
I appreciate you both.
The pleasure all right, is, take is care. Mine. Thank you.
Thank you so very much to Kafachi for sharing his artistry and his vision. And thanks to Yusef for hopping on to provide an important point of view on the business side of NFTs for artists. And also the philanthropic aspect of leveraging technology and creativity for the greater good. Now, what ahas and favorite moments did you have listening to this episode? What questions do you have? Definitely let me know. Drop a comment or tweet at Advantage Evans, and please take a moment to like, comment, and share this episode and this podcast with your networks, and make sure you're subscribed. Follow me on social medias and let me know what topics you'd like to hear more of and who you want to hear more from. All right, that's all for this episode. Until next time, continue to shine.
Stay in touch with host Tanya Evans via your favorite social media, on Twitter at @TechIntersect and on Instagram via the handle @TechIntersect. This podcast has been produced by Stephanie Renee for Soul Sanctuary Incorporated.